Hello, bonjour, and welcome to Local First. I'm Candace Vetter, and today I'm speaking with Bill Dixon, who is the Acting Manager for Media Relations for the Ontario Provincial Police, and he's going to talk to us about the Nation River Lady case. In this instance, a woman's body was found in 1975 in the South Nation River near Castleman, which is in our coverage area. Hi, Bill. Thanks very much for coming on the show, and tell us about these developments that have occurred with the Nation River Lady.
Well, thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about this case, which has been so consuming for so many people for so many years. As you say, I mean, 1975 was a long, long time ago. And yeah, this woman's body, we didn't know where she had been killed, but this woman's body was, you know, dumped in the river. Mm-hmm. And we did not know who she was. Back in those days, the internet was pretty much non-existent. DNA technology was non-existent as far as, you know, general consumption was concerned. So we didn't know who she was, nor did we know who killed her. So officers have been assigned to this case literally since the day her body was found. There have been leads, there have been tips, there have been lots of things followed up, but nothing really led us to who she was until 2019. That was when our investigators went back to her remains, got a new, more detailed DNA profile, because of course, technology keeps changing. Mm-hmm. And this new DNA profile was provided to a private company in the United States, which works with all of those genealogy DNA tests. So
right.
You know, people will do the swab and send it in and find out where they're from. Well, this they ran the test that we were able to provide. And what happened was not one, but two people came up as family matches. So investigators were able to reach out to the family. And through them, they determined that, yes, they did have a family member basically disappear in 1975. And through our investigation, talking to the family, we were now able to, it still, you know, gives me a little bit of a tingle when I say it, we were able to give the Nation River Lady her name back. Her name was Jewel Langford. She was born Jewel Parchman, but she had been married previously. So Jewel Langford is this woman who, she was 48 years old when she went missing. She was from Jackson, Tennessee. She had come up to Montreal for a short time. She was always planning to go home. Her family was always waiting for her to come back, but she didn't. She moved to Montreal. She was there for a while. And then as far as the family was concerned, she just disappeared off the face of the earth. They had no idea what became of her, where she went. Over the years, there was some investigations, but it was never really tied together because Jackson, Tennessee is a long, long way from Castleman.
Mm-hmm.
So now we were able to do that and then find out who she is. And then through what had already been part of the investigation and new investigation and some new details that we were able to pull together, we were able to actually find a person that has now been charged with murder. This is a gentleman by the name of Rodney Nichols. He had been in Montreal. He actually, he and Jewel knew each other. They actually lived together for a short time. He has been living for many, many years in Hollywood, Florida, and he remains there right now, but he is charged with murder in the courts here. He has not been taken into custody as yet in the United States, but the processes are in place to ensure that he is taken into custody there and ensure that he will be able to face that murder charge back here in Canada.
So he would be extradited?
I can't get into all the processes.
Okay.
That's up to some other agencies to look after how he gets back, but he will end up back in Canada in order to face the charge.
So I'm curious to know if she went missing in, I think it was April of 1975, and then in Montreal, and then had her family known she was in Montreal? Like, did they think of tying together like a missing person in Montreal with a body found in Eastern Ontario a month later?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And I mean, I've never spoken with the family myself, but I know over the years there have been some discussions with the police in Montreal. But then even the police in Montreal might have known that she disappeared, but there was never that connection made between Jackson, Tennessee, city of Montreal, and the Nation River in Castleman. The three pieces didn't go together. Nowadays, it might come together more quickly. Now you've got the internet. Now police are much more, there's so much more interconnectivity between police, not just between, say, the OPP and Montreal police, but internationally. The communication is now so much better, so much more efficient that I'd like to say that something like this would never happen again. But sadly, we still have unidentified human remains in Ontario and across Canada that we have the remains, but we don't know who they are.
Wow. I understand that this is a case that you've taken an interest in, that you've been working on for about 20 years.
Oh, I, I remember we were doing a sort of a renewed appeal. One of our forensic artists, Duncan Way, had created a 3D model back in, I want to say it was around 2019. And it was about 2017, I guess. So we brought Duncan out for a tour, and I remember going out and shooting video around the area of the Nation River, both from the over from the bridge and then from along the riverbank. And at one point, I put my camera gear down, and I just sat there on the rocks, and I just looked at the river, and I couldn't help but think, how did this poor woman, whoever, and at that point in time, we had no idea who she was, how did this poor woman end up dead in a river? We knew she was murdered, but how did she end up there? Who was she? And it was just, it was the most haunting thing. So when I heard that we now knew not only who she was, but who was going to be held accountable for her death, it was a great relief. And I know that's the sentiment from so many officers who have been involved in this investigation over the years, because always had officers assigned to this case, and anytime any information came in, they would run with it and see what they could find out.
Wow, yeah. So it's been almost 50 years. It's lucky that the alleged murderer is still alive.
Well, lucky for some, anyway. I think we never talk about closure anymore, because closure, it might not be the right word, but we talk about giving some resolution. So now the family, I mean, Jewel's remains have been brought back to Jackson, Tennessee. She's now buried in the family, you know, plot. Her headstone was actually changed to reflect the fact that she's brought home again.
Yes,
so there's resolution. Yeah, so the resolution that way. But for them to know that the person who's responsible for her death, or allegedly responsible for her death, will stand trial and will be held accountable, that's got to be something for them too. Because to know that she was, you know, you have to think, like 48 years ago, she went missing. And even though they had a headstone for her, they presumed she was deceased. There's always got to be that little piece back in the back corner of your brain saying, maybe she's not dead.
Right.
Maybe something happened. Maybe this, maybe that. So this way we give them the resolution that, yeah, now they know it's not a happy ending by any means, but at least they have that knowledge that she did die, but now her body's been brought home. It gives resolution to the family that way, but that someone will be facing trial on a murder charge in her death.
Right. Well, yeah, that's got to be. They probably have a lot of mixed emotions.
Oh, absolutely. I've used the word or the phrase bittersweet a few times. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, you know, the resolution. It's not, you know, it's not the ultimate happy ending that people would have been hoping for, but at least it will be the beginning of an ending mm-hmm. for the disappearance of Jewel Langford.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So we're almost out of time. Is there anything you want to add?
There are so many unsolved cases from over the years, and not just unsolved homicides, but as I mentioned earlier, you know, we have unidentified human remains in this province. And the hope now is that with this advance in DNA technology, maybe we are able to give other families that resolution too, that somebody went missing years ago and no one knows. You know, like we found one individual's body in Algonquin Provincial Park. No one has ever reported anyone who matched his description as missing. We've never been able to figure out who he is. But maybe now we might be able to find that person's family. And they've always wondered, whatever happened to this person? And I think that's got to be one of the best things we could ever bring forward with technology in this day and age, is to help families at least get that sense of resolution.
There must be a few murderers out there who have thought that they've gotten away with it for years or decades. It must be now a bit, you know, nervous about, with the new DNA technology.
Exactly. And I've said it's never too late for someone to turn themselves in.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
But yeah, you'd have to think that is the case. Maybe a few people are getting a little nervous out there.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose it would be helpful if somebody has a missing person in their family to do the swabs for some of these ancestry type websites.
Oh, absolutely. I know that some people have always said, oh, privacy, I don't want my DNA on. But you know what? This is a huge upside. As you say, you know, maybe it can help to identify someone whose body, it could be a cousin, it could be something, but all it is your DNA would flag with the DNA sample that was taken from an unidentified person's remains, and it could shed such a bright light and bring such a, you know, final ending to a story of whatever happened to this person.
Okay. Well, thanks so much Bill, for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it. An important story, and it's especially for our area, which is, you know, here in Imbrium and Castleman.
Oh, absolutely. And happy to talk to you, because you've got the audience right in the very area where this all happened many years ago.
Yes. And the person who found her, if that person is still alive, I don't know who it was, would probably be relieved as well.
Exactly. There was a farmer who had been working in his field beside the river and made that discovery. So.
Oh, what a horrible thing to find.
Oh, absolutely.
But at least she was found.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. I'm Candace Vetter. This is Local First on CJRO Radio, Last on the Dial, and First for Local News.